to the market to sell the baskets that he had woven, and on his way there, he ran across an invalid who said to him, "Are you going to the market?" And Abba Agatham said, "Yes." And so, "Well, will you carry me there?" So Agatham picked him up and with his baskets and invalid on his back, he carried him to the marketplace and sat him down next to him where he sold his wares at the market. And somebody came along and bought a basket and gave Abba Agatham the money. And the invalid said, "Did you just make some money in the basket?" He said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, go buy me something to drink." So Agatham went and bought him something to drink and came back and he sold another basket. And the man said, "Go buy me a piece of bread." Agatham went and bought him some bread, and it turned out that the whole day went this way. At the end of the day, the baskets were gone, and Abba Agatham had no money. But the invalid had been well taken care of. And he was getting ready to go back, Abba Agatham, and the invalid said to him, "Are you going back?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Well, will you carry me back to where you found me?" So Abba Agatham put him on his back and carried him back to where he found him and laid him down on the ground, and he disappeared. And the text says that it was an angel, as we're told in the letter to the Hebrews, offering hospitality to strangers, we may be really entertaining angels, unaware, unknown to us. It's a beautiful story, but it's striking that the gospel text that we have today is even more powerful, more profound, because it's not an angel that we encounter in the needy, the poor, the weak, the injured, but it's Christ himself. Whether we know it or not, and what's among the several common things between the sheep and the goats is that they neither know that they are encountering Christ. The sheep don't do this for their own gain. "Oh, if I give a cup of water to this thirsty person, then I'll have an eternal life, because I'm doing it to Christ. I get a reward, I get something back." And then completely unaware, unknown, just out of love and compassion for these people. On another occasion, Abba Agatham was going to town to sell a vessel, and he ran across the man who was very ill, and it says that he stopped and rented a cell nearby, and for 4 months took care of the man. Never went to the market, never went to town. And after 4 months, the man was better. And then it says that Abba Agatham returned to his own cell in peace. Again, a beautiful story here, really, of encountering Christ himself in this sick person, because it's only Christ who is the true peace, not the peace that the world gives, but he gives us himself. Yesterday, I was in Jackson, downtown, walking and doing a few errands, and walking down the street, a poor person came up to me and wanted some money. So we had a little encounter, brief, certainly not 4 months. And then I did what I needed to do and got in my car, and I sat there for a few minutes and realized how uncomfortable I was in this encounter with this man. He had ragged clothes and smelly, disheveled, teeth were all out of alignment, didn't speak very well. And of course, I was thinking about today's gospel, and I thought, that's not my Christ. My Christ has clean clothes, he showers every day, he goes to the dentist, he combs his hair, and he can speak clearly. And I was struck by how much I want a comfortable Christ, one who's like me. And I thought, Abba Agatham, he was comfortable with these people. And then I thought, why do I think that? The text doesn't say that. The text doesn't say that the sheep were comfortable visiting the sick people or those in prison, offering clothes to the naked or food to the hungry, just as they did it. One of the things that's so profoundly powerful about today's gospel is that it might be that it simply calls us to live an uncomfortable life, to be in places and situations that make us feel uncomfortable, that tear down our idols of who this Christ is, things that we wouldn't ever really admit to ourselves until we're confronted with that reality that our Christ looks like us, behaves like us. Our Lord tells us that the world is headed somewhere. It has a telos, it has an end point, a goal, and it's important to remember that because so often when we look around the world, it seems so arbitrary and chaotic and kind of spinning downwards, not going anywhere positive, not culminating in some end of the kingdom filled with criticism and judgment and struggle for power. The Beatitudes that we just sang, especially blessed is the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, is illustrated in today's gospel that the power structures of the kingdom are upside down from the power structures of the world. Where we're headed is to a world that is governed by the humility and abasement of our God. Whether or not Christ felt comfortable with the lowly and the weak and the destitute, the sinners of this world, I don't know. But that's where he spent his time. That was the context of last week's gospel. The parables in Luke 15, including the parable of the prodigal son, are given to us because the Pharisees are not happy that Jesus spends his time with the unsavory people of the world. Yesterday's gospel, Jesus was warning us about what life would be like shortly before his second coming. And the theme is always the same in our Lord's teaching on this matter. The world is in this chaotic form in two ways. Natural calamities and civil unrest. And the civil unrest extends to our very hearts growing cold. Tensions and divisions within our own families, as well as global conflict. And he tells us that this is all this tremendous temptation to be pulled into this way of thinking, to be weighed down with the power struggles and the worries and cares of the way that the world values the world. The way that the world values success and power and influence, how the world thinks that problems are solved. It's very easy to be pulled into this way of thinking, as it were, to fight fire with fire, and just be drawn into the ways of the world. In today's gospel, our Lord reminds us that what we are keeping watch for, what we are praying for, what we are attentive to in our lives is precisely to not fall into that way of thinking, that way of doing, that way of acting in the world. We would rather to realize in our own lives the Beatitudes, the poverty of spirit, the mourning, the mercy, the hunger and thirst for righteousness, purity of heart, even a joy in suffering, persecution for the kingdom that encompasses and houses these values, this different power structure, the power that's manifest in weakness, in humility, in abasement, in self-emptying, in crucifixion. It's there that we encounter Christ, knowingly or unknowingly. It's there that Christ transforms and changes us. It's there that maybe he makes us feel uncomfortable and reveals to us the ways in which we are still fighting the world's battles with the world's tools and instruments and weapons. It's there in that uncomfortable encounter with him in the faces of those that forgotten and slipped through the cracks of this world, that he reveals to us that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual battle. I'm sure many of you know Father Roman would say of this passage that Jesus gives us this description of this second coming and of the judgment to show us how easy it is to enter the kingdom of God. It doesn't take a PhD, he would say. It doesn't take a lot of money. It doesn't take power and influence in the world. You don't need to be a king or a governor, a senator, mayor. You don't need to hold any political office. All you need to do is go visit someone who's sick or give someone a little bit of water. It's very easy. But like, I think it's common among the great saints and their sayings to us, they're so simple. But when we try to enter into them, they become a window into a reality that's much more profound than what we notice. So when Father Roman tells us that this gospel is given us to show us how simple it is to enter the kingdom, and then we go and try to do it, and we come face to face to a person who is destitute and smelly and broken, he reveals to us that the real problem, the real challenge, is in our hearts. That we need Christ to renovate our own souls. It's not that I need education or money or power to change the world. I need to be brought to a place where I realize that Christ needs to change me. That I don't want to serve idols, my own images of who the Christ is. So the simplicity of caring for the poor and the needy, the downcast, in very simple ways becomes a doorway into our own hearts, into that mixture of the presence of the kingdom and all of the crud, the envy, the gossip, the judgment, the criticism that also resides there. All of the imaginations about how the world is or ought to be, the rubber of making. And in that context, we can become cleansed by that encounter. We can be changed a little bit, if we're willing to place ourselves there. The sheep are the ones who place themselves in that uncomfortable position. Easy by the ways of the things of the world, but hard by the ways of the heart, because we have to be willing to let our idols be sacrificed. And the goats are the one who found excuses in one way or another. Don't have enough time, don't have enough money, too busy, more important things to do, but all of which were excuses so that they could escape this confrontation that revealed their hearts to be the true battleground. So as we prepare one week to go to enter into Great Lent, let us be mindful of one of the exhortations of the Church during Great Lent and from our Lord Himself to acts of mercy. Simply to pray to God to show us. We might not even have to go looking for opportunities, but say, Lord, You provide in the course of my life those encounters that disrupt me, that change my way of thinking, that reveal and smash my idols. I don't want to serve a God of my own making. I don't want to serve a Christ that I invented, that I embellish. I want to serve the true and living God. If You need to make me feel uncomfortable, to show me who that is, who You are, then make me uncomfortable. I think this is the prayer that we can enter Great Lent with. Lord, reveal Yourself to me as who You truly are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.